Hello, everyone. Welcome to our Good Friday service. I am so thankful that you are a part of this special service this entire week, Holy Week, from last weekend, Palm Sunday, until this weekend, Good Friday, and then celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And don't we need hope now more than ever? Don't we need to really unpack and really dive into the meaning of the most significant week in the history of the world, Holy Week? And as we know, there are so many suffering in our world, we're reminded of the suffering of Christ, and that through that suffering can come joy, and through that suffering can come glory. I've entitled this special Good Friday message, Keep the Fun in Funeral. You'll know more about what that means as we dive into this message. I'm going to be reading from the book of Acts, chapter 10, beginning in verse 38. So as is our tradition, out of love and respect for God's word, and now perhaps more than ever, can we stand, if you're able to, for the reading of God's word. We begin in verse 38. You know about Jesus of Nazareth and how God poured out on him the Holy Spirit in power. He went everywhere, doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of everything that he did in the land of Israel and in Jerusalem. Then they put him to death by nailing him to a cross. But God raised him from death 3 days later and caused him to appear. Not to everyone, but only to the witnesses that God had already chosen, that is, to us, who ate and drank with him after he rose from death. And he commanded us to preach the gospel to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God has appointed judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets spoke about him, saying that all who believe in him will have their sins forgiven through the power of his name. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the power that is in that name. That name that's above every name, as we preached on Palm Sunday, the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, where every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. We thank you for this special Holy Week. We thank you for this special service celebrating Good Friday and what it means to literally billions of Christians around the world. Speak to us in our hour of need. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are an ever-present help in our time of need. It's in the name of Jesus I pray, amen and amen. Well, you know, when it comes to really two primary responsibilities or duties of a pastor, marrying people and burying people, if most pastors are honest, they would prefer doing a funeral as opposed to a wedding. Why is that? Because at a wedding, everyone is focused on the event, right? And it's a glorious moment and a glorious celebration. But in a funeral service, everyone is focused on their own mortality. You know, the events that have unfolded in this year, in this pandemic we find ourselves in, all of us are having to take a closer look at the reality of our own mortality. That no one is a superman or a superwoman, and no one is impervious to facing real life threats, as this hideous virus is a massive killer, our own mortality. And so even the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes says, the day of one's death is better than the day of one's life. And that sounds morbid, but when you study the book of Ecclesiastes, you realize that all of us should be faced with our own mortality, that none of us are invincible. And what I love about Good Friday is that Jesus does something for the entire world, something that no one else could have done, because he was God in human form. He was going to face the gruesomeness of death. And not just death by hanging or death by electrocution or death by lethal injection. He faced death by way of crucifixion. And the Romans, they perfected the art of crucifying someone on a Roman cross. And Jesus faced death for all of us. And then he did something no one had ever done before. He conquered it on the third day when God the Father raised him gloriously from the dead. And that's where our hope lies, in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, consider the audience around the crucifixion of Christ on Good Friday, speaking of his death, and then those that witnessed his resurrection. Far more people were witnesses of his death than they were of his resurrection. You know, at the end of the day, death does get more attention than life does, and specifically this death. That's why billions of Christians celebrate Good Friday every year during Holy Week, leading up to Easter weekend, because this is the moment that defines our faith this weekend, this entire week, but particularly this weekend. And as Peter, or as it says here in the book of Acts, Luke is the author of the book of Acts, as it says here in Acts chapter 10, verses 39 and 40, once again, Peter says, "We are witnesses of everything that he did in the land of Israel." Notice that. He said, "We are witnesses of everything he did in the land of Israel and in Jerusalem. They put him to death." So Jesus died. "They put him to death, nailing him to a cross, but God raised him from death." So Peter says here, we are witnesses to the death of Jesus and to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And what's amazing about this verse here is that these two verses link together Good Friday and Easter, or the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in this, Peter gives us three pillars of our faith. We're witnesses, Jesus died, but God. And we're going to come back to those in just a moment. You know, up until this recent global pandemic, it was becoming fashionable. It was becoming more popular for funerals to feel and look more like weddings than at any other time in the history of our nation. There was a trend in the death industry that was making the somber, traditional funeral a thing of the past. They were kind of wanting to bring the fun into the funeral. And so as Americans had become more secular, more laid back, more mystical, they began to change the rules related to the passing of a life. So remember traditional funerals, funeral home, you had flowers, you had a body, a coffin, or a casket, you had a graveside of service at the burial place. It was pretty much predictable what a funeral service would look like. But now, some funeral homes are adding dance floors, lights and sound system, so that the mourners could actually celebrate the life of their deceased or their loved one. And some funeral homes in our nation had been applying for liquor licenses, wanting to bring the fun into funeral. The trend is now known as destination funerals. So now what people are doing is they're cremating their loved one. They're having a celebration of life, and then they're taking their ashes and they're, you know, spreading them wherever their deceased loved one's favorite vacation or favorite spot may be. And in fact, what's trending now among death care providers, it's less about death and grief and more about celebration in general. So think of it as putting the fun back into funeral. And what's driving this is the baby boomer generation, you know, the Woodstock generation, the party generation, and they're wanting to put the groovy into dying. So even prior to COVID-19, more people are expected to die in the U.S. in the next couple of decades than will be born, which means that death is on people's minds. And now, more than ever, as tens of thousands have died and are dying because of this global pandemic. You know, when it comes to a departing of a loved one, there's a fine balance. We want to celebrate the life of our loved one, especially if they were Christians and we know where they are now. But at the same time, there should be this sense of mourning, this sense of loss, this sense of grief. You know, in the Bible, grief is a means by which God brings about healing and wholeness in a person who has lost someone that they loved. And there should be a time of sorrow. There should be a time of grief. That is healthy. That is normal. That is natural. On the day that Jesus died, when he was nailed to that cross on Good Friday at 9 in the morning, and he hung there until 3 in the afternoon when he breathed his last breath and gave up his spirit, those that knew him, those that stuck with him to the bitter end, the Marys and John and the mother of Jesus and just a handful of disciples, they mourned and they grieved the death and the loss of their Savior. Could it possibly be? Listen to me very carefully. Could it possibly be that all the celebrating and partying in the way we say goodbye to our loved ones today and what is trending, could it be a thinly disguised attempt to deny death its victory? Is it mankind trying to ignore death? Interesting. Is it part of our death-denying culture that we find ourselves in? You see, the one thing we don't want to think about, the one thing we don't want to talk about is that ghostly, unseen member of every family gathering, of every get-together, that unfriendly, unwelcome guest known as death itself. Because we know death is coming for all of us. We don't look forward to it per se, but it is an enemy. And the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, facing the judgment. And so what gives us a better sense of assurance about when that day comes for any of us, and it could come tomorrow, God forbid, than to have the assurance that our faith and trust is in Jesus Christ, the one who faced death for all humanity and conquered it for all humanity? That's what Good Friday is all about. We all want this death stuff and this death talk to end sooner rather than later. We want to get this death stuff out of the way, and we want to get on with life. And so many funerals want to deny the reality of what just happened, and we want to get back to our normal way of living. I submit to you in this message today, truth is that Good Friday isn't about sentimentality. It's not about spirituality or generic celebration of life. Good Friday is instead confronts us with the in-your-face reality that the Savior of the world died a gruesome death, and there's no way of making it anything other than the horrific death that our Savior died for us. Good Friday causes us to stop as Christians and to pause and to reflect and to remember and to identify with the suffering of our Lord and Savior, and then allow our hearts to be filled with appreciation and our hearts to be filled with gratitude, and then pour it out in worship unto Him. Because death is an enemy. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:26 that death is not your friend. It's the last enemy that will be destroyed. Now, Good Friday is still good. In the face of the death, it's still good because of who died, why he died, and what happened on the third day on Resurrection Sunday. So it's not death that we as Christians celebrate on Good Friday, but rather it's the death of death, it's the destruction of death that we celebrate, that Christ defeated it for us and for all who would believe in him. So listen very carefully. It's not about putting the fun in funeral, F-U-N-E-R-A-L, funeral. It's not about putting the fun in funeral as much as it is the un in funerals, as in a negation, the end, the cancellation, the un, the destruction, the final victory over death. That's why this day is called Good Friday, because of what Jesus did for us. Now, we're reading here in Acts 10, and it's astounding that Peter spoke these powerful words in Acts chapter 10 that were recorded by Dr. Luke here in the book of Acts for us. And think of the transformation that Peter himself experienced, right? This is the guy, Peter, who boldly declared he would die for Jesus in Luke 22, 33. He boldly made this statement only out of fear to deny that he ever even knew Jesus in Luke 22, the same chapter. And then finally, it was Peter who ran to the empty tomb when he heard the news that his body was gone and that he had been raised from the dead. Peter ran on that first Easter morning. The transformation that occurred in this man's life is absolutely incredible. So in closing, Peter's three pillars of faith. And the first one is, he tells us, we are witnesses. And in verse 39, the first part of Acts 10:39, let's read it together. We are witnesses of everything that he did in the land of Israel and in Jerusalem. Once again, we are witnesses. Oh, Peter himself, speaking of himself and speaking of the disciples, said, we are witnesses. What boldness from the guy that denied even knowing Jesus in front of a little girl, called curses down to prove that he had nothing to do with Jesus. Now he's boldly testifying. It was through Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost that 3,000 were saved and added to the kingdom of God. He was a witness, and he was testifying to the truth surrounding the facts leading up to the death and subsequent resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are witnesses. You and I are witnesses. Have you ever been a witness in a court case, maybe a criminal case, some trial? There have been times in my former church where in a criminal case, I was a witness, a character witness. You know, in a criminal case, there are different types of witnesses. There are eyewitnesses. Peter, in this instance, and the disciples were eyewitnesses. They literally saw Jesus after he was raised from the dead. In a criminal case, there are expert witnesses. Not only was Peter an eyewitness, he was an expert witness. He lived with Jesus for 3.5 years. And then in a criminal case, there are character witnesses, and then there is a star witness. Now, none of us can be eyewitnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We weren't there 2,000 years ago, right? But we can become expert witnesses, we can become character witnesses, and we can become star witnesses as we testify to the life-changing reality of Christ in our life. Only those who have a religion as opposed to a relationship are those who cannot testify, or they become false witnesses. God help us to be star witnesses that Jesus indeed is alive. Look no further than to look into your life and to see the life of Jesus pulsating through you, the joy and the peace and the love that surpasses all understanding. Being witnesses. To be a witness, right? That's where to live our life in such a way that we testify of the reality of Christ's transforming power in our lives, and that in the face of death, in the face of the most fearful, hideous pandemic known to man perhaps in the history of the world or since the Black Plague, we can face down this giant with no fear, because we have no fear of death, because we belong to Christ. We can be a witness. You know the story of Eric Little, Chariots of Fire. He was a witness for his faith in a big way. On the world stage of the Olympics, He refused to run on the Lord's day. Gave up a gold medal. Didn't know if he would really have another chance again, but subsequent to that, he won a gold medal, and he maintained his witness for Christ. Friend, how are we maintaining our witness for Christ on the world stage in the face of this pandemic? Witnesses. Number two, Jesus died. So number one, we're witnesses. Number two, Jesus died. In Acts 10:39, the second half of that verse, it says, "Then they put him to death by nailing him to a cross." They put him to death. They who? This is Peter preaching. They who? Who's the they? Well, both the Romans and the Jews, the religious leaders, and the people who shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" They nailed Jesus to the cross. And in reality, you and I, our sins, nailed Jesus to the cross. All of us are included in the they. Imagine how dastardly this deed was 2,000 years ago, where we, the human race, nailed God to a cross. God the Son, that is. And yet, Peter here, there's no sense of bitterness or animosity. He simply speaks the facts. They put him to death by nailing him to a cross. There's no sense of hatred or bitterness. He's simply speaking the facts. Peter himself was, on some level, an accomplice to the death of Jesus because he was unwilling to testify on behalf of Christ and his innocence. He was too busy denying him. Jesus died. In Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 22, it says, "If a man has committed a sin deserving of death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree." You see, they didn't have the term cross thousands of years ago in the book of Deuteronomy. But it was the Romans that took a tree where they would hang people and then converted it into a cross where they nailed our Savior to that tree or to the cross. My friend, Jesus died. Jesus died. I looked up in the New Testament, and there's only one place in the Authorized King James Version of the Bible and the New King James Version of the Bible and the New International Version of the Bible, there's only one place in the New Testament where that phrase, that statement is made. Jesus died. It's in 1 Thessalonians 4:14. We must believe that Jesus died, but it doesn't stop there, and rose again gloriously on the third day. Yes, Jesus died. Make no mistake about it. At 3 p.m., Pilate himself was amazed when they brought the news back to him that Jesus was dead. They didn't have to break his legs. For many that were crucified, it was an all-day ordeal. They would break their legs so that they couldn't support themselves, so that they would basically suffocate. But Jesus, at 3, gave up the ghost, gave up the spirit. He said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And Jesus died. And they took his cold, limp body from that cross and placed it in a borrowed tomb. But my final thought is, but God. Because in Acts 10:40, once again, Peter says, "But God." Those two words, "but God." Those two words, in the face of a pandemic, in the face of fear, in the face of death, in the face of loss, in the face of destruction, "but God." But God raised him from death 3 days later and caused him to appear. That's the hope. That's the hope pulsating in the heart and soul and life of every true Christian in the world today, and every true Christian that's ever lived, and any true Christian that will ever live, is "but God." We know how the story ended for Jesus. Not in death, but in victory over death. And we know how the story will end for you and me, not in death, but in victory over death. Hallelujah. When this mortal shall put on immortality, this corruption shall put on incorruption. And in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, we'll all be changed and caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And those who are dead in Christ shall rise first. There is a resurrection coming. A resurrection of the just and the unjust. You want to be among the just. You want to be those that are part of the elect, saved, knowing and having the assurance that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. That's how you put the, not just the un in funeral, but the fun in funeral. That's why when a saint departs, there's sadness, but yet there's joy. Because we know where our loved ones are, and we know where we will be if we place our trust in Jesus Christ. I want you to pray with me if you want to receive Christ or commit your life to Christ. Just bow your head right where you are and say, God, forgive me, I'm a sinner, and I am in need of a Savior, and there's only one Savior. His name is Jesus. And I call upon Jesus right now to be my Lord and Savior. I turn from sin to the true and living God. I receive His love, His grace, and His forgiveness. Now, dear God in heaven, You're now my Father, and I am Your child. Fill me now with Your Holy Spirit. And give me strength to live for You and serve You all the days of my life, beginning today, for the rest of eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. This is Good Friday, and this could be a good, good Friday for you. If you prayed that prayer to rededicate your life to Christ or commit your life to Christ. Now, we believe we exist here as a church to come alongside of you and help you continue to grow in your relationship with Christ. So I need you to communicate with us what the Lord's done in your life. There's a tab there online that you can click. You can communicate with us on Facebook. We'll give you some instructions, or you can just jump online, trinitytoday.com, or download the Trinity app. You can download all the instructions and information about what comes next as you continue to walk out your faith, your newfound faith, your newfound relationship with Jesus Christ. This has been a glorious Good Friday service. We've heard the word. We will respond in our worship and in our giving, and then we will go on to live a victorious life, being a witness for Christ. God bless you.